Welcome to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast, brought to you by Flowpath. I'm your host, Griffin Hamilton. This is the show where I interview industry experts who share their stories, strategies, and insights into modern-day facilities management. From hospitality to commercial real estate and everything in between, we'll learn what it really takes to succeed as a facilities manager. Welcome to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast. I am your host, Griffin Hamilton. In December of 2021, Benedict College, Siemens, and MD Energy Advisors initiated a collaborative effort to modernize campus facilities around Benedict College. That project has been ongoing for a couple of years and included improving indoor air quality, supporting energy efficient operations, and really setting up the campus to reduce ongoing energy and maintenance costs. So last week, we had Paul Cleary and Michelle Mitch Peterson talk about their perspective. And this week, we get to hear the perspective of Benedict College. So with that, Dr. Artis, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I am very well. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. Well, before we go into the project and get your perspective on, you know, really what prompted it and the outcomes there, why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about who you are and what it is you do?
Sure. Rosalind Clark Artis. I am the 14th president of Benedict College, which is located in Columbia, South Carolina. Benedict is a small, private, historically black college loosely affiliated with the Baptist Church. We are 152 years old, moving into our 153rd year. And that means we have a beautiful, historic campus that also eats. We have an infrastructure that eats. It is historic and lovely, but it also means that energy efficiency has been a challenge for us. Deferred maintenance has been a challenge for us. And so I'm really, really excited about the opportunity presented by a partnership with MD Energy and with Siemens.
Yeah, no, and I think that's something where a lot of older colleges and universities in particular, they want to hold on to that charm of it being historic. And at the same time, make sure that you are energy efficient and the facilities that, although they could be beautiful, you want to make sure the students there are learning in the best environment possible. And if they're living on campus, right, then making sure that's an environment suitable for living. And so with that, I'm sure that was challenging for you guys to balance that, yet exciting to begin this project. But what really prompted you and Benedict College to start this project?
So I had a chance encounter with Paul Cleary's partner, who said, listen, I am working with another historically black college, Morgan State University, on a modernization project and an energy efficiency contract, energy performance contract. And I said, tell me more. What does that look like? And the concept really is that upgrades to the campus would effectively be financed from energy savings. So when you are saving on water and utility and electricity and those kinds of things, that money would be redeployed back into the infrastructure of the campus to update and modernize the facilities. So we brought them to campus. We brought MD Energy into campus, and they did a comprehensive assessment of all of our facilities, whether they be classrooms, dormitories, athletic facilities, administrative buildings, etc. And unfortunately, found that we had perhaps more work to do than we could afford to do in any one time, and certainly validated what we already knew, that older, more historic buildings and facilities tend to be far less energy efficient, and that we are, in fact, really losing a lot of money in not maintaining those facilities and modernizing those facilities. And so step one really was the comprehensive assessment, and we were very, very grateful for that. That was done in lockstep collaboration with our facilities team, several visits to campus. It was not done at a distance. They are a high-touch partner who became a part of the fabric of Benedict College during that assessment period, studying our utility expenses historically, and really trying to get a good feel for the nature of the campus. So that was the first step.
So what were your expectations when you began that? And it sounds like you had that gut feeling that was validated.
Absolutely.
But did you have any expectations, or were you going in with a complete open mind to that assessment?
So we had a good sense that obviously we knew how old the buildings were. We knew what our utility costs were. We know when you walk into a building and you feel a draft. You know when you're seeing excess condensation. You know when you're seeing moisture, smelling moisture in a building and air quality and those kinds of things. And so we had a good understanding that we had a challenge. What we didn't have was a plan and a strategy for how to attack that in a strategic and logical manner. And so I think that really was sort of the first value add, was validating what we knew and then really helping us to fashion a plan or a strategy to begin to address that, given available resources. If we'd had the money, we would have done it already, right?
Right.
And so this notion of an energy performance contract was a very attractive one. So I think the initial expectation is great. We're not going to have any capital outlay. We are going to, calculate a potential savings pool and use that to fund, again, upgrades. And I think the value here of both MD Energy and to some extent even Siemens was candor, right? What is the first quality of a good partner? Capacity, the ability to come in and do a comprehensive assessment. And two, candor, the ability to sit down with us and say plainly, we are not going to be able to fund the amount of work that needs to be done here solely out of any energy savings. It was honesty and candor that allowed us to really have to coalesce around what are our areas of greatest need, what can we accomplish, and then to give us a holistic view of multiple phases. So phase one, we're going to address these issues. Phase two, phase three, so on and so forth. So I think having a partner with a high level of competency and experience, but then having one who can have honest conversations with you about what's realistic and what's appropriate for your campus is really important.
Absolutely. And that was one of the main themes from last week, was just the power of collaborating. And that being with three different stakeholders here, three different parties involved, it does take a lot of collaboration and you have to be very intentional with that. And so it's interesting that you bring that up from the get-go, of just being transparent, honest, and making sure that, you know, everyone is on the same page, because that large of a project that has that significant of an impact, it's, you can't do it without candor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the other thing that's probably worth mentioning, at least as it relates to MD Energy, is clearly they brought in Siemens. And that is a function of a good environmental analysis. Who are the potential partners, HVAC partners, vendors, but who's the best partner for Benedict? Again, local, accessible, experienced, significant enough market share to move product and a relatively good turnaround given the supply chain issues that we're all wrestling with post COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, that level of expertise in shopping the market for the best co-partner for Benedict was also really important.
Absolutely. And you did touch on this, where you brought in your internal facilities department to work alongside. And so talk to me about that, because I feel as though facilities departments in general, they largely go unnoticed because what they're doing is in the background. And that's been a theme on the podcast, where you don't really know who they are unless there's something catastrophic happening. And so the fact that you guys brought them in, and that was just yet one more item that you guys did to make sure this was a successful rollout. So talk to me about how you prioritize your internal facilities department and how you brought them in and up to speed.
So what you say is entirely true. And unfortunately, when your campus is 153 years old, there's always something happening. So I'm on a first name basis with my facilities team the vast majority of the time. We have good leadership there, and they're very, very committed. The value and the team approach to this is that they know where the bodies are buried. They know where the oldest infrastructure is. They know which things leak the most. They know which HVAC systems give us the most grief on this campus. And so they were integral to the process. I could tell you globally, as I walk the buildings and walk the campus, what I see, what I think I see, but they're the content experts. And so it was important that they feel empowered to be candid with our partner and show them the underbelly of the institution, if you will, to really walk into those control rooms and go down in the basements and, you know, up in the rafters and really guide MD Energy and Siemens in their assessment. So I think a comprehensive approach requires that you have deep engagement, both from your partner and from your internal constituents, so that everybody is on the same page. You know, there is a pride of ownership, right? These guys keep these facilities running every day. These guys are the ones who are constantly, for lack of a better way to articulate it, jerry-rigging our HVAC systems to make them work on a regular basis. They're the ones who hear frontline from the students about the complaints. And so it's really important that we amplify how important they are to the life of the institution, and by bringing them around the table and being real true partners in this endeavor with MD and Siemens, I think it sent a message really loudly about how much they're valued.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love hearing that, because again, it is one thing that we hear consistently, where we only get called whenever there's an issue. And so highlighting the value there is important. And I think going into, and you touched on students interacting with the facilities department, that was something where the project in and of itself, of course, it's about energy savings, being sustainable, and these modernizing your campuses. But there's secondary benefits to this type of project, and that's just the environment that you're creating, both the learning environment and the living environment. And so has there been any surprising impact of this project related to the student and faculty experience?
So I think we will yet realize a very significant outcome as it relates to the faculty, staff, lived experience. I think the challenge that we find is that when you do an honest assessment, when you do a deep dive, sometimes it's worse than you thought. You pull it apart and you really begin to look at it and you realize just how much we have to do. So I think when you enter into this kind of an engagement, you really have to be prepared for the worst. You have to be prepared to hear the bad news. You have to be able to take it with a grain of salt. You know, our students' lived experience is critically important. We came into this with the idea of clean, comfort, connected, clean, comfortable, and connected environments for our students. That's really cosmetic. Clean is not hard, unless your facility are super dated and stained, right? Is not hard. Comfortable, okay, we can get the air moving, but is the quality of that air good, right? And connectivity really has more to do with our technology infrastructure, but we were really looking at it from that more pedestrian approach: clean, comfort, connectivity. Now we're thinking about it a lot differently. We started with safety, security, quality, right? So the safety of our students is contingent upon our having good quality, good air quality, good access to heat, light, energy, water, you name it. And so I think it really shifted our approach to a more holistic, environmentally sound approach. So I'm not going to do as much painting, not as much curb appeal focus, much more internal. And that's why this conversation is really important, and some of the messaging that we've had around this partnership, because the students will feel a difference, but they may not see a difference. So the facility may not look upgraded to you, right? It may not have new furniture and new paint and new whatever, but the infrastructure, the guts, the bones, the scaffolding upon which the building is built will be far more sound and modernized. You may not be impressed with low flow shower heads, right? You may not be super duper impressed with the, you know, all you know is that when you turn on the light comes. You don't know if that's an energy efficient light bulb or whether that's a, so I think we have to be prepared for a certain lack of gratitude. I think we have to know upfront there's not going to be a, wow, this is awesome approach,
right?
Because it's not visual. Much of it will not be visual. But what we hope to happen over time is that we'll get to the cosmetic piece of it. I think we've historically spent a lot of time on the cosmetic piece, and in so doing, maybe have covered up or glossed over some of the deeper infrastructure challenges that now are being unpacked and they're ugly, right? And so I think the messaging is important, that students understand we're spending a fairly significant amount of money. We're making some massive improvements and investments into the facilities, primarily for your safety and security. But cosmetically, you're not going to probably see much of a difference. When you flush the toilet, you know, hopefully, you know, everything goes down, right? But you're not going to necessarily be clued in that this is a new energy, you know, water efficiency mechanism that, you know,
right,
cleans the toilet. So I think, you know, everybody has to come into it with a clear understanding that you do the right thing for the right reason in the right way. And long term, you will realize a significant impact. And we're making impact even in the short term. It just isn't as visual as our students and faculty sometimes like in the short term.
Yeah, and I think a big piece of this is just telling the story, because safety and security, it's hard to make it tangible when it's not visible.
Right.
And that's something where, you know, one of the few benefits of COVID has been the highlight and emphasis on indoor air quality.
Yes.
And that isn't something we see the air. Hopefully we don't see the air we breathe. But that's something where having that knowledge, that leadership is taking that in consideration for not only you as a student, but if as a parent, if my child, son or daughter, was going to a college, knowing that they are looking at that type of detail for safety of my child, that is important to me. That's valuable for me. And so just marketing that internally, here's how we're investing in you as a student and a person, I think that will resonate with people.
That's our sincere hope.
Say that one more time.
That is our sincere hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not spending this kind of money for people to go, ho-hum. They didn't do anything. That would be very difficult to swallow. I think both for the Benedict team and certainly for our partners, I'm relatively confident that's not going to be the case. I think, you know, certainly the magnitude of the project, right, in terms of new DOAS units and all, you know, all sorts of things that are designed to improve that quality, those are pretty visual. When those cranes come in here with that equipment, it's pretty clear something's going on. And that
right.
opens the conversation to what is that? What purpose does it serve? And how does it benefit me as a student or faculty constituent?
Yeah, absolutely. And I did have a question just holistically looking at your facilities department and the impact they've had on this on this one project. That's been incredible. But as a whole, how could a facilities department differentiate your college versus the next, and how do you look at that as a leader? Because again, that's one of my goals of the podcast, just broadcast this team is important, this profession is very important. Just having a different perspective is unique on how you have an impact on an organization.
Yeah, I think that our folks work extremely hard. Again, when you have an infrastructure of this age in this condition, it is almost never ending. The number of just triage calls that the ladies and gentlemen in that division have to absorb. Additionally, housekeeping. It is much more difficult to keep facilities clean and tidy when you have, you know, loss of air and water and all sorts of other things. They're just very dated. Air quality does impact, you know, mold proliferation, for example, things like that. We want to ensure that that's not present for the benefit of our students and other people. And so I think we approach this from the perspective of an extremely overtaxed team who is running with the treadmill on high to constantly band-aid, to constantly tweak, fix, adjust, solve the problem just in time. Whatever's burning today is the thing we're going to fix today. And it's my sincere hope that in addition to increased student satisfaction and increased faculty satisfaction and parent, you know, satisfaction, that our facilities team gets to take a much more strategic approach to their work. As opposed to being triage agents on a regular basis, they're able to participate in the development of a long-range capital strategy, right? Are we inventorying every HVAC unit and understanding, you know, how close we are to end of life proactively so that we don't wait for it to go out and then wait for 18 months supply chain to replace it while our students complain, but rather we're in a position to make strategic investments because we've arrested the urgency of the something breaking down every minute. And so it is my sincere hope that we improve the quality of their lives in terms of the emergent addressing of needs in an almost thankless environment and allow them to be professionals. They know what they're doing. They are highly skilled in dealing with plumbing, electricians, HVAC professionals who are reduced to problem solving every day, emergency response every day, as opposed to being proactive, thoughtful contributors to the overall capital health and needs of the campus. And so I think that in an ideal world is where we get to. that we improve the quality of their lives and the professionalism that they are able to express, that they have a higher level of satisfaction with their profession on this campus.
That's incredible. And I really have nothing to add on to that. Well said. And, you know, I'm just hoping that's the direction this industry is going, is looking at facilities as a true strategic partner.
Right.
I do have one last question, and I ask this to everybody, and that is, who or what has had the biggest impact on you and your career?
Oh, my goodness. That's a really incredible question. And the answer is pretty simple. My own children. So I'm a mother of three. And my goal when I approached the college presidency was to make this an institution that there would be no doubt that my own children would attend, right? We don't have to say, like, are you going to go to Benedict College? Why would I go anywhere else? It's the best school in the world. So I approach this work every day, whether that's academically, facility-wise, et cetera, on making it an institution that there's no doubt that my own children would select as a number one choice. And so with that as the polar star, we keep going every day.
Love that. Well, once again, thank you so much for joining the show. I know you've got a lot going on, and I appreciate you providing some context into the project and the impact there. And once again, it was a pleasure having you on.
It was an honor to be on. Thank you so much for giving us voice.
Of course. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast. Make sure to subscribe for future episodes and follow us on LinkedIn for more facilities management content.